All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, very excited to be chatting with an individual who's part of the co-main event of BKFC 44, which goes down on June 9th, and a very intriguing fight at 175 pounds as Lloyd Mix and Dallas Davison get out there. And yeah, great getting to have Dallas on the program today and everything. And just, yeah, how's everything going in the lead up to this one, man?
It's going good, man. It's a heck of a process getting ready for a fight like this, but this is my fourth or fifth bare knuckle fight, and so I'm feeling pretty confident, man. There isn't really much nerves going into it. I'm just ready to put on a good show, man. I'm in some of the best physical condition I've ever been in, and I'm definitely in a really good mental state, and I'm just ready to go to war, man.
Yeah, and like, who, like, internal to your camp would you kind of credit that to? Like, you talk about how good of a, you know, camp this was, like, in terms of, like, coaches and, yeah.
Yeah, in this particular camp, buddy, Joe Riggs really stepped up on me and really helped me out a lot. His personal training and him and I just doing private sessions really made a world of difference on as far as pushing my conditioning to the next level.
Yeah, that's interesting. He seems to really have his fingerprints all over, I mean, this card specifically, but, like, really making a name for himself in the bare-knuckle scene. Like, I understand he's been working with Louis Lopez a lot ahead of this one, too.
Yeah, Joe Riggs is, you know, he's just a legend of fighting in general. You know, he's fought all over the world, and he's pretty well-known. Anytime we go travel out of town or something, I mean, they treat him like the celebrity he is here in Great Falls. It seems like everybody lives under a rock around here or something, but... Anytime we go around the fight community, man, they really, really cater to him and really happy to see that man around. And, you know, it's because he's a nice guy and he's helping the next generation of it. You know, he's very, very good, very skilled, very well-rounded.
Yeah, for sure. A great combat sports mind, it seems like. And I guess I'm kind of curious because I'm seeing on some different sites here, like I see on the BKFC site, it's listed as a welterweight co-main event, but some sites like Tapology, which I kind of referenced, were putting it at 175 pounds. Is it at 175 or is this one 165?
This fight's going to be at 165. Normally I fight at 175. His last fight was at 175. They've been kind of trying to talk me into fighting at 165. I mean, I get it. I had a lot easier of a weight cut this time than last time. Gogo Slavesky kind of got an easy ride on his last fight because I came in without my legs being prepared and a little malnourished. I'd beat that go-go kid any day of the week, in my opinion. I'll go fight him in the streets right now.
Yeah, and I mean, since that fight, he's put himself in a pretty favorable position in, like, the welterweight ranking. So if you guys were to run it back, I mean, I feel like there'd be, like, big implications for the division and everything. So that seems like one you'd be really, like, looking for down the line to run back.
In my opinion, that's really the only fight I'm really looking forward to. I could care less to hang the gloves up after I beat him up. But, no, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm thankful for this opportunity. This guy I'm fighting, he's very well-rounded. He has a big name, and I have a lot of respect for him. But that all kind of comes to an end as soon as we step into that square circle.
Yeah, for sure, and I definitely have a lot of questions about the particular fight, but I would think that you'd be especially excited to get back out there after, like, a few different bouts fell through per your Tapology. Like, it seems like you were looking to take a couple MMA fights and a boxing bout there, so are you really, I guess, chomping at the bit to get back out there?
Sorry, boss. What were you saying? I didn't mean to interrupt you there at the end.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm just kind of wondering, like, how you're feeling, readying to get back into it. I'd think you'd be excited.
Yeah, I'm definitely ready, man. I was even ready for those ones. It just seemed like things just wouldn't add up and wouldn't work right. I got pulled from that bare-knuckle MMA title because I'm fighting for these guys here. They told me to make the choice whether I want to fight for them or fight for that one. And that fight I can take, you know, right after this one. So
that's interesting. So you're also looking at bare-knuckle MMA possibly as well?
Yeah. Pretty much just trying to stay as active as I can. You know, I ain't going to be able to do this fight life for very long. You know, it's definitely not for a long term. I don't know how these guys like Joe Riggs and Leo Brashear and you know, Lozano, there's just a lot of guys that are in their 40s, man, and they're still out here banging it out. That Leo Plaw is an animal. There's just a lot of really good guys in the game that are getting pretty old that are somehow still holding it down.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to those guys for sure. Definitely all durable, tough individuals. But the bare knuckle MMA does sound intriguing. So I was noticing you have some amateur experience in MMA as well, and obviously experienced in bare knuckle here after having a few fights there. So yeah, that would be very intriguing for sure. Definitely an exciting proposition for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for it, man. Just get in the ring as much as possible here over this next year or two.
And I'm kind of curious about just, I guess, the general learning curve through your BKFC run so far, because you've had, you know, three fights with the company, and I saw an interview you were doing with Bare Knuckle News where you were saying, like, kind of like in the debut slash into the lead up for it, you broke your hand, something to the effect of, you know, five times, like your hands there, and it seemed like you kind of came out unscathed from the sophomore bout there. Like, is there a certain learning curve that kind of underpins that to subvert the damage?
Your punches is probably the biggest part of this game, you know, after you get enough fights in. Because if you come in and just, you know, throw what you've got, you're probably going to put them down, but you're also, at the same time, you're going to tear up yourself more in the long term. You know, I'd probably rather be knocked out than have to deal with my hands be broken for the next 5 weeks. So I'd say the biggest learning curve is knowing how to control your punches. I've always been kind of a sharpshooter, marksman. I usually hit my punches on the spot, man. I don't throw a bunch of wild shit. I'm just throwing soft punches to find that one hard shot I need to throw.
Yeah, and it seems like the fundamentals are a strong aspect of the sport too. Like when I was talking to Houston Alexander, who's obviously a very experienced fighter across a few different sports, like his corner was basically saying jab, jab, jab. Like that was essentially the, you know, gist of their advice. And I was seeing another interview, it was the one with BKFC, where you were saying like the jab was your bread and butter. So I would think that would pay dividends in this sport as well.
Yeah, that jab is kind of your biggest thing, man. You should be able to be in full defense while you're throwing it. You shouldn't be able to be hit while you're throwing a jab. Anybody can get hit when they're throwing a naked right hand or you're throwing hooks or stuff like that. But I feel like if I'm throwing my jab, I'm fully protected unless they slip it and come over the top. Like what happened to me with Jordan Christensen and Billings. That guy timed my jab perfectly and came with an overhand right and gave me 10 stitches in the eye. So it's, there's a lot of timing thing. But, jab is definitely probably our biggest part of this game.
Yeah, for sure. And you were talking about your opponent earlier in a way that struck me as, you know, you were quite informed of what he had done previously, just almost 25 MMA fights over amateur and pro, and definitely some significant fights with guys like Patrigi Pitbull and Michael Chandler, etc. And kind of an interesting guy to kind of game plan for in a certain sense, just being that his lone BKFC fight saw him get a 14-second KO win. So not much to maybe really do tape study on from that, but yeah.
Yeah, no, you can tell a pretty decent striker when you see one, though. I mean, the thing with this guy is he's really good at throwing heavy shots at weird angles that you wouldn't expect it from. You know, he's not like an orthodox boxer. I mean, obviously he is. I'm pretty sure he might be a southpaw now that I think about it. But still, he's not like a common strategical boxer. He uses finesse and a little bit of talent to throw some weird throws. I plan on just, you know, taking him into deep waters. I'm out here to fight. I want to make it a long fight so we can show some for the fans. Like I said, I can't do this for very long, man. So I'm going to try to make the best show I can while I can.
So I guess, like, to that point, like, you talk about the unorthodox angles and the pressure he kind of brings. And we were mentioning your jab. Like, is your approach, I mean, maybe in an oversimplified way, but is it kind of predicated on, like, maintaining the range with that jab and counter-striking more so?
Yes, more so. That's a lot of what I'm going to be looking at doing. And then also just getting him to move without me having to move, you know. I'm going to be utilizing my feints. Small things that maybe the average guy won't notice, but my opponent definitely will. And just getting people to move without you having to get out of order, you have to move. I think it's going to be a beautiful show of boxing this weekend.
Yeah, and it always seems like a beautiful show is you know, put on in that Montana area, just with this being your fourth BKFC fight there and the third specifically in Great Falls and, you know, fighting out of Great Falls and everything. Can you speak to, you know, those dynamics, like the partisan support you're going to be getting for this one?
Yeah, see, I'm pretty darn fortunate in this town. I come from my parents both knew a lot of people, and I've always been a very friendly figure. I've always helped out people more than I should, and I've had people step up more than they should, and it's a beautiful thing what this town has and what I've got behind me. I mean, last time I sold out all my shirts, sold out everything, you know, before this show even started. And I've got a heck of a support system around here. I mean, I sold like $26,000 in tickets last time, so it's more than anybody else, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I would think that being in such a high profile spot would kind of serve that too. Like, we're talking about you're fighting like a name value opponent, and also just the hierarchy of the card being that it's a co-main event. So I think there'd be an even additional spotlight on this one, perhaps.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's just been another fight though, just getting ready for it, man. I'm really looking forward to that Billy Wagner Bryce Henry fight too. This is going to be a heck of a card, man. You guys really did a great job on the matchmaking and getting good guys together, I feel.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess to that point, I mean, I wasn't necessarily going to get your thoughts on this, but just, you know, talking about some of the other fights on the card and you being out of Great Falls, like, it feels like a lot has been made of this like inaugural featherweight championship bout with, you know, Kai Stewart and Louis Lopez kind of having that like crosstown rivalry. Have you noticed any of that a little bit in the lead up to this one? Like, are there like Team Lopez guys and Team Stewart individuals? Like, what's the, I guess, you know, temperature in the town on that one?
Yeah, there's definitely there's enough tension there to start a fire. It seems like, man, those guys, they hate each other with a big passion, and I just hope everybody comes out okay, and you know, always lives to fight another day. But I think they're gonna come out with some severe damage after that one. Louis Lopez, I train with him, so I try not to be what's the word I'm going for? Try not to be biased, but he's in the best shape I've ever seen him. He's trained harder than I've ever seen him. I mean, the guy is just flat out strong right now. So.
Yeah, for sure, and that's kind of why I tried to word the question in that certain way, so as to not put you in any kind of situation. Just seems like there's a certain sentiment among the people of the town, and you love to see that enthusiasm. But something that I thought was kind of interesting that you said, because you were looking to take Lloyd Mix into deep waters in this fight, but I'm noticing all three of your, you know, BKFC fights have kind of ended in the second round. Like, is your approach, I guess, a little bit different in this one relative to some of the prior fights and whatnot?
No, it'll probably be the same. I mean, I tend to fight off my back foot. I'm one that, like, I'm aggressive pressure fighter, but I'm also in and out all the time. With this guy, with all the other ones, actually, I wanted them to go along too, but once I'm in there, I usually just try to make it apparent to, you know, who's the bigger man. But I'm going to come out hot. And then if he survives that, then I'm going to be out there boxing. And I'm, like I said, I usually fight on my bicycle. I'm just running around him and working that jab. So I'm just going to, I feel like I'm going to outclass this guy in every way possible. He's going to get lucky. He's going to hurt me a couple times. But there's no storm I can't weather, man. I've taken some serious shots over the years, and I've never been sat down. I mean, go on. I was falling down. That wasn't a knockdown.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a fight I'm very intrigued by, and your insight's definitely increasing that intrigue for sure, man. But I want to be mindful of your time and the rest of your schedule to Dallas. So that being said, is there maybe any final parting thought you'd want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, man?
Thank you so much, my man. Yeah, it's been busy as heck, but no, I can't thank the support of this town enough. You know, Great Falls and Montana in general, Montana fighting, we all kind of try to work together because we don't really have the training that most of these other big states with high population people have and stuff. But I can't thank Vaporology, Steve's Auto Body, Gear Average Garage, Subrep Productions, Johnson Madison. They're celebrating their 100-year anniversary. I just got a lot of really good people behind me, and it makes the world a difference, man.
Yeah, I love to hear that for sure. I love that you're, you know, getting the support, especially heading into, like, we're talking about such a big fight here in the BKFC 44 co-main event. And very excited to check out that Lloyd Mix fight in a couple days on, you know, June the 9th here and everything. But until then, you know, just wanted to thank you for the time, man. And you have a good rest of your day, too, there, Dallas.
Heck yeah, buddy. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time, and I hope to talk to you soon, man. Hopefully in the winner's circle.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Again, appreciate the time. And yeah, you know, feel better. Enjoy the rest of your day. Hopefully that appointment helps a bit and everything.
Will do, man. Yeah, I'm going to go get some chirotherapy real quick, see if I can get frozen.
All right, man. See ya.
Take care, buddy. Thank you.
All right. On this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set for the co-main event of BKFC 44, and that goes down on June the 9th. A very intriguing bout at 165 pounds with Lloyd Mix knuckling up and toeing the line against Dallas Davison. And great having Lloyd on the show for the first time. How's everything going, man?
Let's, I feel good. Let's go. You know, Dallas Davis is a tough kid. I'm ready to come for him. Yeah, I know he's ready to come at me. He says he's got some My Doll and a pillow for me. And, you know, I'm going to see if I can get him to use that instead of me. But I know I'm amped.
Yeah, I love to hear that. And I mean, just such an interesting, you know, time for you and everything, just transitioning into bare knuckle boxing. Obviously, you had quite the MMA background before getting into it. Like, what was your first time, I guess, kind of being exposed to bare knuckle, where you were like, oh, that's kind of cool, I'd like to try that out?
Well, my first time being exposed to bare knuckle was probably like, you know, probably like 70% of just people in general's exposure to a bare knuckle. And I was in, you know, high school fights. You know, like when I was in high school and stuff, you know, coming up, you know, I moved here from Memphis, Tennessee, my freshman year of high school. And I was different. Let's just say I was different. And I got called a couple names and stuff. I ain't going to repeat them because I ain't going to give them the gratitude, or I'm not going to give them any kind of, like, you know, any kind of play on those names. But, yeah, I had to, you know, fight for my pride and my respect around these streets. And, you know, that was my first introduction to bare knuckle. But I know that you're asking for the other question, which is, you know, what was my introduction like with this organization? Which, you know, I had really, really no kind of like clue of what to expect. But I know that my first time walking in there and like being in the back room, and I was the featured event. Unfortunately, when you have like a successful combat career, you know, you get to fight on the end of the card and you get to see everybody come back. And like, man, they had like, you know, a lot of like, you know, people go, I know it's like part of, you know, just making sure everybody's, all the fighters, all right, but it's really kind of disheartening when you see a whole bunch of ambulances leaving in the back of, and then another one show up, taking another one in, and, you know, and then hearing that crack, wow, man, that you know, that was a quite a shocking experience. And when I got out there, you know, I really didn't know what to expect, but, you know, I didn't really get my feel in because it only lasted about 14 seconds. But, you know, it's all right. I come back. I want to get the full experience, and this is going to be my full experience. I think I'm kind of used to the conditions because of my MMA background and, like I said, those street fights.
And that's interesting you bring that up, because in doing my research on you, I was seeing that, like, when you were living in Memphis, you really did have to, you know, kind of develop those, like, fighting skills on the street. But it's sort of tied into, you know, from what I could tell, your connection to Montana, just kind of moving there when you were, like, in your teens and stuff like that. Like, it seems like you have a certain kinship to that, and you talk about how Montana is a big part of how you fight, just being a wild mountain man. So can you kind of, I guess, talk about this one and everything like that, just how that kind of ties into, you know, this next fight? I would think you would enjoy the Montana component for this one.
Yeah, well, when I was down in Memphis, you know, yeah, I had to fight to to survive down there, but at the same time, you gotta watch yourself on those streets down there. I keep saying streets. Those streets down there, you gotta watch yourself on those streets down there because, you know, those kids are quick to pull out guns, which is not, you know, the Montana way. So when I moved up here to Montana, and, you know, I kind of ran into the same kind of thing. And, you know, the first time it was just fighting a bully. First time it was just fighting a bully. But then after that, when you realize, you know, there's a lot of good people up here in Montana. Even the people that I beat it up. Even the people I beat up were probably really good people. And, you know, they didn't go quick to go pull out a gun or something like a lot of these kids do these days. And like Memphis, and that's, I mean, and Montana, like, that's who trained me how to fight. That's where I started wrestling. That's where I started boxing down at the Wilma, down at the historic Wilma Theater here in Missoula, Montana. Boxing, and not only that, like, you know, just the people here, the community around here. And I know I'm not trying to promote street fights or anything, but it's kind of just what developed throughout my story. And there's plenty of places to find fights here these days. Like, it's become way more established. There's boxing, there's MMA. So I'd like to tell anyone out there, like, don't go take it out on the streets, because, you know, you never know. There could be, like, one of those Memphis guys or one of those big city guys just chilling out here in Montana who be, like, you know, kind of, you know, may I say, a pussy to go out and grab a gun or something. And that's a mistake you don't want to make.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, far too many conflicts that could just be settled with a, you know, casual fight kind of escalate into that. I definitely get what you're saying and all, but you were kind of talking.
I love the casual fight. It's so casual. You know, in our world, it's really casual, but, you know,
yeah, right.
The best way would be to, I mean, that's what they always teach you in any self, or any, what do you call it, self-defense class. The best way is to talk yourself out of it, but if you're really good at talking, talk your way into it.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, that ethos kind of speaks to your depth of martial arts knowledge that you have over the years. And I guess kind of in talking about that, I mean, obviously I mentioned the, you know, Bellator experience previously and just MMA in general. Like, what kind of differentiation is there between, like, readying to fight in bare knuckle, like how you, I guess, curate the camp versus MMA? Like, I imagine it's obviously more boxing centric and taking out the wear and tear of the grappling, but do you do any, like, hand conditioning techniques or anything like that?
I do hit the bag right now. I'm doing bare knuckle with my bare hands and stuff, but, like, to be honest, man, a fight, even if your knuckles are banged up and broken, man, as you know, the people who want to win will punch you with a broken hand. And, you know, there's a really, like, badass dude that was here in Montana at one time. His name was Jim Harris over at Secura Gym. And I went in there, and, you know, rest in peace. But I went over there, and he taught me, like, you should have seen this man's toes. He would just kick you straight on, full on. He would be trying to stab you with his toes. So it just shows you, like, you know, when it comes to hand conditioning and stuff, like, what you have to do and what I think is most important is to just condition your brain. And when you were talking about Bellator and all that, like, in my younger career, my brain was not conditioned right. You know what I mean? It's always a shame that your brain gets conditioned later in life, you know, when everything's, you know, breaking down on you and stuff. But, you know, my brain wasn't conditioned because when I went in there, I used nothing but pure anger. And I used nothing but trying to kill or be killed, you know what I mean? And, you know, I think I didn't think about game planning and stuff as much as I do now. I was like, you know, I was in there to just go and get it. And, you know, I'm still excited and stuff, as you can tell in my voice, to go out and get it. But I think I'm settling down a little bit more. And where this is where I was talking about that brain power comes into play more than, you know, conditioning your knuckles to fight somebody. Because if your hand breaks, your hand breaks. You know, you got to just be man enough to deal with the pain and still hit him as hard as you can.
Well, it seems like things are coming together in a great way, though. Like, you talk about how, in a certain regard, it's like, oh, I wish I kind of knew these things a bit earlier, in conjunction with, like, you know, how my body was, like, maybe more so. But it seems like you've still, you know, maintained yourself well and everything like that. And you're in this, like, new sport now and stuff like that. So it seems like you're, I guess, applying that well. And, I mean, you talk about, like, the mindset and everything. Like, it seems like you're in a better place with that kind of stuff too, just like the personal end of things, just, you know, like taking your wife's last name because of how much, like, she changed your, I guess, worldview and everything like that. So it seems like you're in a great place in a lot of different regards too. Does that lend itself to that kind of composure? Like, it seems like you're talking about just like the general, I guess, lessons learned and maturation that comes with just living, but it seems like your personal life in general has been really good too.
Personal life flips upside down. You know, I've been working 70 hours a week for the past 5 years, and, you know, hard work builds character, and my character is consistently building day by day. But my wife, my new look on life and just everything in general has changed a lot. And I couldn't be more thankful for my wife. I couldn't be more. I've always been thankful of Montana. But, like, now that I see it in different ways and the support that I've always gotten here, like, it's just a beautiful thing. And I don't want to get too cracked up about it because, you know, I still got to go out there. I got to perform for these people. I can't sit back and enjoy the sunset. But I am going to enjoy that sunset when this story's all over. And hopefully this fight goes well. Hopefully I can continue with the BKFC and keep this train rolling.
Yeah, something I thought was kind of remarkable. I mean, you talk about how much work you put in on a weekly basis. Like, I was seeing you on the Bare Knuckle show the other day there, and you were talking about how you left work to make your BKFC debut. I just think that's wild. Like, you go out there and you get this big win and you're logging in the hours and stuff like that. So I thought that was cool.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I mean, you know, like, unfortunately, you know, like, you know, housing prices have gone up and all inflation and everything has gone up. So, unfortunately, you know, I'm not able to, you know, enjoy, you know, and like back in the day, I had like lines of sponsors from Bellator, and Bellator is paying me okay. And long as I had a fight on the way, I was good. And, you know, life changes. And as you can see, like, you know, a pandemic and a whole bunch of stuff happens, and all of a sudden life's not that affordable, you know, and I have to provide for, you know, my loved ones. And, you know, as long as I keep winning, it's going to be easier to provide. I can keep getting my skills better, and I appreciate you, like, admiring, you know, my work, because after my work, you know, I try to go out there and run up the mountain. I try to do more. I'm always trying to do more. I'm always trying to do the best I can, and I'm glad the situations have gotten the way they have, because, like I told you, hard work builds character, and it just built me to the character that I am right now, enough to work, you know, 7 hours, so that's a 13-hour day. Work a 13-hour day, still go run up the mountain, wake up early in the morning, still get at it. I don't know how I do it, but 4 hours of sleep seems to be enough for me, and I thank God for that every day.
Yeah, for sure, and I mean, it is unfortunate that the landscape is what it is, but I mean, you're doing what you're doing and adapting well to, you know, like you said, provide for your family. But just, you know, great to see that you overcame, like, that car accident there circa like May 2022, because for a bit I was seeing people kind of being like, oh, where's Lloyd Mix? Like, he hasn't been fighting in BKFC for like a bit over like a year and a half. But obviously that, you know, would create a massive hindrance there. So in a better, like, quality of life kind of sense, happy that you, you know, came out of that there, but also good that you can, I guess, feel ready to get back to competing now too and everything like that.
Yeah, that car accident was, like, very unfortunate. It was they were getting ready a contract for me to fight somebody else in the BKFC. They had even gave me his name already. And that car accident was, and the first thing I said, like, when I got out of my car, blood coming out of the top of my head, was like, God damn, I'm going to miss my fight. You know what I mean? I was like, this doesn't even matter. But I'm glad that, you know, I took the time that I needed to actually heal my wound and, like, and anything that got rattled up there is not rattled anymore. And, you know, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I appreciate the BKFC coming to Montana so much, man. It does a lot for the economy of Montana, and it also does a lot for the sport in Montana in general, because when I started, there wasn't a lot of us around. And, now with the BKFC coming to town and stuff, now there's kids everywhere coming in, and like I'm starting to see a lot more, and like, you know, the kids who come in, like I went and trained in Browning with Daniel Azure and his coach Reese, I went up there, and like I was just saw a video that was inspiring to me. He was up on the mountain and just throwing shadow boxes with a Glock in his side, and I just thought that was cool. I was like, hey man, I want to come up there and train with you. So I made the long, like, four hour trip up there just to train with him. When I went up there, he was like, man, I remember when I was a kid watching you in Bellator. He expressed to me that I was a legend, and that just makes me feel great, and that makes me feel like honored to be part of this group that's still going out there and representing Montana, especially in the combat world.
Yeah, it seems like the Dog Pound Fight Team, like out of Missoula there, has been a group you've represented strongly for sure and everything like that. And it seemed like there was good representation on like the last event and stuff like that. So, I mean, like, what does that lend to you? Like, is there a certain sense of, you know, camaraderie almost, like a certain, I mean, obviously it's ultimately an individual task getting out there and fighting, but just having some of the, I guess, you know, compatriots alongside you from the gym, like, is there a certain, I guess, collective feeling that imparts when you're getting out there and you're all ready to have your individual fights and whatnot?
Yeah, well, the dog father, the head guy over there, head coach at the Dog Pound is Matt Powers. And when I was, I'm 38 now, and he met me when I was 16 years old. So, like, the Dog Pound will always be family to me. Now his son is grown, and he's taking on a kid the following week here at Ogden Park Fusion Fight League. But he's a great training partner. And, man, like, yeah, Dog Pound, that's always been my base. It's always been my heart. I've, like, gone to Portland and trained, and I've trained all over at other places to get other good looks and stuff. But my heart and soul will always be here in Missoula, Montana, and will always be part of that Dog Pound crew. And I think just that, like, me aligning myself with that and, you know, the other guys coming in, like, you know, Tim Welch, who's the head coach of Sean O'Malley right now. Like, all those guys, we all navigated there, and, you know, we all made each other better, and that's what gyms are all about, making each other better. But when you have a long history at a gym like I do, like this one right here, you know that it's just more than just a gym. That's your family. That's people I can call at any time. There's been times in my life where I've been incarcerated in jail, and, you know, the only people the people that I was able to call were from that group, and, like, those people are still out there in the world, and everybody went their other ways, but, you know, anytime I see those people, I have much love for them. So, yeah, that does have a lot to do with my training, not just, you know, physically, like getting the workouts in and stuff, but also emotionally as well. And like I was saying before, this emotional game and this, all this, like, has become more important to me later in life, and like knowing, like, you know, the aspect, and knowing, like, you know, like just knowledge. Knowledge is way more important to me right now than this fight right here.
Yeah, it's cool you mentioned Matt Powers, though, just with the, you know, context of him having given you that cupcake nickname a while ago. And I was going to say, with the surname change, I think it almost works better. Like, Cupcake Mix has, like, a certain kind of, you know, fluidity to it.
Yeah. Yeah, the funny thing is like, you know, Misha Cupcake Tape. I remember when she was Misha Takedown Tape, and we were fighting on the same card in Tacoma, Washington. Like, and the funny thing is when she, like, I remember the day she announced it. She was like, oh, I love baking, so I'm going to change my name to Cupcake. I went right on her Instagram right away. And this is when I was single and I wasn't married or anything. And I was like, hey, if you're going to take somebody's name, I thought you were supposed to marry him first. You know what I mean? But, you know, after meeting her, that was like I told you, I was a little loud, a little bit more wild back in those days. It wasn't as tamed as now. But I went back over to Tacoma Corner and Fights, and, you know, I met with her, and even though I talked all that trash and stuff, she's a sweetheart. She's an amazing lady, you know, and nicest thing ever. And so I kind of felt a little bit bad, but at the same time, like, yeah, I'm the OG Cupcake. And every time, like, I go somewhere, they're like, oh, did you get that name from Misha Tate? I'm like, no, man, we were on fight cards together. I'll show you my pass that says her name is Misha Takedown Tate. Oh, well. Yeah, never mind. You were talking about, like, Matt gave me that name. Yeah, he did. It was a joke. It was really funny. And that was in Klamath Falls. That was my first fight. Man, that was long ago. But it was funny. And it stuck. And now with the name change, yeah, Cupcake Mix. Oh, yeah, that does got a good ring to it. You know, I didn't plan it that way. The, you know, my thinking was just like, hey, I'm becoming part of this family, so I'm taking this family name. And man, I couldn't be more happier with the life I have right now, the wife I have, the family I have. And you know, my Woodards out there still love me too, so.
Yeah, for sure. You love to see a lot of great support all around, it seems like. But you know, this fight is a very intriguing one here, just with Dallas Davison having like the three BKFC fights so far, and he's kind of entering this coming off of that Gorjan Slaveski fight, who in his own right has, you know, kind of ascended the rankings. So this seems to be an interesting one for just the, you know, division overall, I guess, to that point, because mostly you've been at 175 before, or at least that was your last BKFC fight. Like, how does it feel being at 165 here, just in the context of, I guess, preparing for that, but also just how the division looks overall, because it seems like one of the healthier weight categories in the company.
Well, you know, my man, I've always been really good at, like, getting the weight down, putting weight on, and my body fluctuates quite a bit, but they had given me a call, I think it was about a month ago, and asked me if I was able to make 145 to fight Goodjohn. What is it, Tyler Goodjohn?
Yeah.
And I fight Goodjohn, and you know, somebody, I said, yeah. You know, I jumped on the scale. I was about 168, 170. I was like, yeah, I can definitely make that, you know? And actually, this weight at 165, I actually was asking for a lower weight. My base weight is one. I mean, that's where my bread and butter has always been. That's where, you know, the fight that I want is at 155. And if you haven't heard me, like, talk too much about Michael Chandler, I talk about him. He's the one who taught me how to lose. And, you know, that's at 155. So I'm always going to stick around 155. But I do want to play in 145. I have played there once. I do want to play at 165. I mean, like, you know, weight is just what you get on, what you get on when you get on the scale. I'm coming in there ready to fight. I just need proper timing. If they're going to ask me to, like, go up because, you know, right now, you know, we got weigh-ins tomorrow, and I'm 1 pound out, and they give you a 1 pound allowance, and I'm sitting here eating toast, and, like, I had a buffet next to the train, you know, like, so, like, you know, I'm good, you know, and, like, I want to play around and once I like to play around. I like the fights. I like to fight too. And so if 165, if they got some good guys to be taken out there, I'll take them out. At 155, you got some guys to take out there, bring out the monsters because that's my weight. You know what I mean? At 145, let's play around there too. And let's see how this thing rolls out when it comes to weight.
I mean, that's intriguing, too, just with the first ever BKFC featherweight title fight being on this card. I would think you'd have a certain, at least, like, peripheral awareness of that fight and maybe checking out what goes on there.
You know, I ain't trying to take Montana Gold from Montana Boy. Like, I think it would look better and it would bring more fans to the sport. To fight at, get that 155 goal, and you want to talk about monsters? You want to talk about Louis Palomino? You know, that's a monster. That's a monster I'd love to go at. But, you know, I'm not trying to, like, it's so great that we're going to have a world champion. And like, this is before Sean O'Malley gets that UFC belt, you know? But it's so great. I'm so proud of these guys, man. It's so great that we're going to have, like, it's a guarantee, though. It's not a guarantee with O'Malley. He's got to put in work, and I believe in that kid. I know he can. But it's so great to know that we're going to have one just this Friday. And, like, you know, whoever wins that fight is going to deserve it. I mean, Louis Lopez is tough as nails. The guy gets knocked down, gets back up, gets knocked down, gets back up, and still comes at it, and he's talking trash the whole time. Little crazy, but I love his crazy. And then you got Kai Stewart. Oh, my man. But Kai Stewart has been rocking him as well. He proved he was the number one contender by taking out Crowder and his movement, man. He moves around. He gets out of the way of punches. He's good at working his body and putting pressure on. You know, he's a wrestler, man. So, like, looking at, I would love to see them hold that title for a while, maybe even defend it, whoever wins that fight. I'm gonna put it out there right now. I ain't even gonna be scared. I'm not gonna be somebody who, like, you know, because I really think that Kai Stewart is gonna win. I know that Louis is tough, but the thing is that if Kai keeps moving the way he did on Crowder and he moves out of the way of that punch, then he's good. But if Louis wins, he's gonna win by knockout. You know, he's gonna win by catching him. And, like, the way I see Louis training and all these Facebook posts, because I'm a big fan of Louis, man. Louis, don't take this anything personally if you're listening to this, but, like, man, you're putting in hard work right now. It's just the way that I saw Kai move with that Russell Crowder fight. I was live in the crowd for that one. And I just think he's, like, you know, he's just like I was. He's got too much emotion coming at this. He's trying to take his head off. And in the process of taking his head off, I feel he's going to get outpointed. And I feel Kai Stewart's going to come away with the win. What do you think?
I was going to say, in my position, I have to be a bit impartial, but that is a very thorough breakdown for sure. It's definitely a very compelling, you know, crosstown fight, just with both of them representing Great Falls for sure. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on, you know, your own fight, because you're talking about obviously wanting to go a bit longer than the debut, with that being, you know, 14 seconds and whatnot. And I was talking to, you know, Dallas Davison the other day, and he was saying that his kind of approach to this fight was, like, I guess, to take you into the deep waters, I believed was his operative wording. Like, what do you see for this one?
Oh, man, that's great. That's awesome. That's awesome. That means he's, but hopefully that doesn't mean he's going to run away. Like, but yeah, man, I I would love to go. I want to put on a great show. And, you know, if we can get fight of the night and we can go the distance and I get knockout of the night because I knock him out because he thinks he can get me in the later rounds, I mean, that'd be wonderful. But one thing's for sure, like I said in other podcasts, is that, like, when I get knocked down, like in all my fights before, I got back up. And, like, I was, the ref stopped the fight in most of my fights, you know? And this time I get eight seconds, and I'm hoping whoever is the counter will, like, I'll get up at eight, like, let me get back in there, you know what I mean? Like, so, because I felt like after most of my losses, like, man, I was still ready to go, but, you know, when you're in MMA and you get up drunk, they stop it. So this time I just got to know, like, don't jump up too fast. Get on your knee, but listen to the count and get up by eight and don't let them wave it off. So, I mean, as long as I keep getting up, I think I get the win for sure. And but I'm glad that he said he wants to drag it into deep waters because, you know, he don't do that much press. He's been missing a lot of stuff, and, you know, I'm a big fan. I'd love to hear it. And, you know, he doesn't get up on Facebook, which is a typical Montana kid. So, because, you know, we're not into social media. We got way too much stuff to do outside, which I respect. And, you know, I know he's going to be here to bring it. And, you know, my game plan is just to go out there, do what I do best, and man, it just even excites me more that he says he wants to take it in the long distance because, you know, I'm a long distance runner. You know, he might not know that. Well, he's got to know that because he goes on my Facebook. But in actuality, I was training to run a 100-mile race before this fight came up, and I was actually going to do it. It's still scheduled for next week. And, man, there's nothing I want to do more than to try to go over there and knock it out. But I was thinking, like, when I was training for it, I was getting too much elevation, like, the elevation training that I was getting. So in the race, I have to gain, like, 27,000 feet of elevation, like, going up and down, not just straight up. But, and I was, like, at the time when I was training, like, there was about 2 months or a month out, I was getting, like, elevation of, like, 10,000, 12,000. And I was like, man, if I start, you know, pumping it up to 20,000 of elevation on my, like, 30-mile runs or whatever, then, you know, I ain't going to have no legs for my fight. So I had to cancel that, which, man, I really didn't want to. So when he talks about taking it in the distance, man, that actually makes me feel great because, you know, I'm going to be ready to go long distance. He might be surprised. He better not expect me to get tired.
Well, I was going to say, you talk about being excited. I was definitely feeling that for this fight prior to talking to you, but you're amping me up even more, man. But that being said, I, you know, want to be mindful of your time and everything, Lloyd. So to that point, is there any final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, though, man?
Well, I want to thank my biggest sponsor ever, my beautiful wife at home, and, you know, the only thing that I love as much as my wife is I want to thank the great state of Montana for existing, for being so beautiful, and for really making me the person I am. That's about wraps it up. Follow me on Instagram, MMA Cupcake. You know, become my friend on Twitter, or follow me on, not on Twitter, but on Facebook. I do have a Twitter. I use it every now and then, but I don't really understand it. But yeah, it's just like, let's keep this Montana thing rolling. And yeah, I just want to send my love out.
Yeah, for sure. Great shout outs, and certainly going to be rolling in Montana on June 9th there with BKFC 44. And yeah, to reiterate, thanks so much for coming on and giving great insights ahead of what looks like a very intriguing fight. So, you know, enjoy the rest of your day there, man, and looking forward to checking out the fight when it goes down too.
Thank you, man. I appreciate this interview. Montana, let's go.